Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend is the second Sunday of Lent. And before we get into our readings, my friends, let's begin, as we always do, with our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Do you have a heart that's full for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to those four questions, my friends, you are ready to engage in the Word of God. And here we go with our first reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verses 5 through 12 and 17 to 18. The Lord God took Abram outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if you can. Just so," he added, "shall your descendants be." Abram put his faith in the Lord, who credited it to him as an act of righteousness. He said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as a possession." "O Lord God," he asked, "how am I to know that I shall possess it?" He answered him, "Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old she-goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Abram brought him all these things, split them in two, and placed each half opposite the other. But the birds he did not cut up. Birds of prey swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram stayed with them. As the sun was about to set, a trance fell upon Abram, and a deep, terrifying darkness enveloped him. When the sun had set and it was dark, there appeared a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch, which passed between those pieces. It was on that occasion that the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I will give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Genesis this morning, my friends, we see Abraham put his faith in the Lord, who credited it to him as an act of righteousness. Where do you and I, my friends, put our faith? Do we put it in God? Do we put it in our Lord Jesus Christ? Or do we put our faith into human beings time and time again, who are more apt to let us down, to disappoint us? My friends, we are called to follow in the footsteps of Abram and put our faith into the Lord. And the Lord made a covenant with Abram. Have you made a promise to the Lord? Have you kept your promise? My friends, actions speak louder than words. Are you a promise keeper, or do you break your promises? Many years ago, I belonged to an organization called the Promise Keepers. And they were based on multiple promises and helping men to grow in faith, but to keep their promises to their children, to their wives, to their parents, and to their friends, most of all, to God. And it's key, my friends, that you and I are promise keepers in daily life, and that we're not breaking our promises. That being said, it's important that we don't make promises that we cannot keep and get the hopes of other people up high and then cause them to fall down as their expectations are broken and they're basically disappointed. So as we proceed in daily life, my friends, it's important that we make promises that we can keep, that are realistic, not unreasonable. Promises that help to put smiles on the faces of children, that help us to build our stability and credibility. Promises to go to work every day and to work hard to provide for our kids. Promises to our wives to be faithful husbands, to get home on time, to be accountable, dependable, reliable, to provide the necessities of life. We need to be faithful to our promises, my friends, and not just say things and not come through. We need to be finishers. And the Lord makes a promise to Abraham, which is powerful. He makes a covenant. And it's important that you and I, my friends, develop a relationship with the Lord similar to Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham later on, we'll see. And he was known to be a friend to God. He was a friend of God. Are you a friend to God? Or are you and I enemies of the Lord? Are we lining up with what God says to do and not to do? Or we are doing what we want to do day in and day out? Think about it objectively, my friends. Take a moment and think about it. Recently, I heard of a satanic temple convention that was hosted in Scottsdale, Arizona, on February 11th to the 13th. And this is all about people who put their faith into Satan, into the devil. The focus was exactly that, my friends. Think about it. So where are you and I putting our faith? It's important that we recognize when people are putting their faith in evil things, into the devil, into Satan, Lucifer, he has many names, the father of lies. Think about it. Where are you putting your faith, my friends? God calls us to be faithful servants, to be good men. He says the steps of a good man is an order from the Lord. It's something we cannot choose not to do. We must choose for God. Are you with him or are you against him? It's the second week in Lent, my friends. I want you to make a commitment with me today. In the second week of Lent, as we prepare for Easter and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I want you to come with me along on this faithful journey and step it up to a higher level, a higher standard, and put our faith more into the Lord than ever before, and not into human beings who may have second agendas, may have ego, pride, territorialism, jealousy, envy, selfishness, bitterness, hatred, lust, cynicism, anger, greed. These are the things, my friends, that human beings are capable of. And it's important, my friends, that we put our faith into the right areas so we ourselves are not disappointed, not let down, and that we teach our children to do exactly the same. Let's go to our second reading. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verses 17, and chapter 4, verses 1. Join with others in being imitators of me, brothers and sisters, and observe those who thus conduct themselves according to the model you have in us. For many, as I have often told you, and now tell you even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their minds are occupied with earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body by the power that enables him also to bring all things into subjection to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in our second reading, my friends, from the book of Philippians, from the words of St. Paul, who says to us, be imitators of me, brothers and sisters. Observe those who conduct themselves according to the model you have in us. Who are you following? Who is your role model? Did you have any mentors growing up, my friends? Do you have any mentors now? Who are you trying to imitate? Is it celebrities? Ball players? Who is it that you're following? I want you to think about that, because today, more than ever, we need the attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ. And St. Paul tells us to be imitators of me. St. Paul himself, who persecuted the church, he himself did that, but the Lord converted him, made him into a wonderful man, a tremendous advocate for the word of God, an advocate for eternal life, an advocate for our Lord Jesus Christ. And he did that, my friends, until the day he died as a martyr. And it's powerful. So, objectively speaking, who are you and I following? Who are we trying to imitate? We see kids in high school and college very often, you know, everybody has to keep up with the Joneses. They have to keep up with their friends. There's a lot of peer pressure for our kids today. Many years ago, in teaching pro-life and family life topics such as abortion and partial birth abortion, embryonic stem cell research versus adult stem cell research, the death penalty, euthanasia, went to many schools, over 100 schools, met children with bulimia, anorexia, suicidal thoughts, lack of self-esteem, all kinds of challenges in their homes, my friends, and in the school, some of these things came up and were visible to other people. And kids today, my friends, need more than ever, they need good role models. And we are called to be faithful to the gospel. Just recently, we celebrated Ash Wednesday. And as we serve communion and serve ashes to the many people who were there, it's a special time a solemn time as we begin the beautiful journey towards the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in serving the ashes to our people, this ritual of putting the ashes on our foreheads, you know, we would say to each person as they came forward, turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like Abraham put his faith in the Lord, we too need to do the same. We have to be imitators of Jesus Christ. Imitators of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the role model who guides us and directs us through His Holy Spirit. And it's so important that we get this straight so we don't go down a pathway of destruction. And the Word of God says it right here, that their end is destruction. It says, for many as have I told you, and now I tell you, even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. In your circle of influence, do you have enemies of Jesus Christ within your circle as your friends? Are they people who come to your home, drive with you in your car? I want you to think about it. Remember, Abraham, who became Abraham, was known to be a friend to God. And in the end of our lives, my friends, if we are known as a friend to God, it's a beautiful goal to develop a friendship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. And that should be a great goal for us. In the Word, once again, many people conduct themselves as enemies of Christ. How are you conducting yourself, my friends? Day in and day out, in the 168, the total time available within a week. Are you with God or against Him? Are you advocating for His Word in our schools, in our government, in our households, at the dinner table? Or are you pushing it away? Are you a friend to God or an enemy to God? Think about it, my friends. The goal should be that we are friends of God, in love with God, and serving God. We need to know Him, love Him, and serve Him. What are the characteristics of an enemy of Christ? One thing you could say is that their minds are occupied with earthly things only and not focused on eternal life, or that they're advocates to remove God's Word, to remove the church, to remove the morals, values, and ethics and biblical principles that God puts forth in the Word of God and has laid down for millenniums. And it's powerful. What are the characteristics of those enemies? We need to be cognizant of it. We must be aware of it. We must be defenders of the faith and not offenders of the faith. We must defend the faith, which is so important, and be imitators of St. Paul himself, the greatest example truly of a man converted who went from bad to good, a persecutor of the church to a man who fought for the church, who wrote 13 books of the Bible. What is your focus on? Is it on heavenly things or on earthly things? And the Word goes on to say this, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is important. What are you and I waiting for? Better job? more money, a better quality of life? Who are we waiting for? Boyfriend? Girlfriends? Going to ball games? All of that is okay. But beyond all that, we should be awaiting a Savior who gives us access to eternal life with our Father in heaven. He gives us access to a place where there's no sin, where there's no pain, where there are no tears. And this is powerful. And St. Paul says to stand firm. Stand firm in the Lord. And that is a great message in the book of Philippians today, that you and I need to stand firm. And how do you stand firm, my friends? When you have a foundation that's rock solid, when you have a foundation that's been built on the Word of God, on the truth, you and I can stand firm. And that is, once again, a great goal for all of us. So the more we engage in the Word of God and live it out, the more we fall in love with God, the greater our relationship is with Jesus Christ, and the more firm we can stand in the Lord. And it's powerful. Let's go to our gospel reading, my friends. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. And here it is. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part with him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over him, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Luke today, my friends, we see that Jesus shows Peter, John, and James something miraculous. The transfiguration of Jesus, showing him his glorified presence. And he selected Peter, John, and James. Peter, the first pope within the church. Saint John, one of the powerful writers of the final gospel. And James, a tremendous person who made a great impact. And as we read through each one of these deliveries, these writings from each one of these, we can see that this event was a special event to prepare each of them to grow in faith, because they had work to do to help to bring the message of the gospel to other people. And it was powerful. And I just tell you, my friends, that you know, as the Lord showed Peter, John, and James, Moses, who was a tremendous individual from the Old Testament, and Elijah as well, the prophet, these people had their faith increased. I like to call it a faith increaser, a miraculous event that only the Lord, our God, can select, can create, and provide to us, you know, this moment in time where our faith is increased. And so we look at the transfiguration of Jesus as a special event which was utilized to increase the faith of these three men. And we just know that, my friends, in our lives, what has God done in your life and in my life to increase your faith? Objectively speaking, what has he done? What miracles has he performed for you? The birth of a child. A beautiful marriage ceremony. A successful career and retirement. Good health, freedom of cancer, and all of the illnesses that you and I know that are out there. What miracles has God shown you to increase your faith day in and day out, my friends? The gifts, graces, and blessings that only God can provide. No man can do it. Only God can bless us. We can be a blessing to other people, but we cannot bless like the Lord our God. Only He is capable of the miraculous moments that are provided. And we see them with every sunrise and every sunset. And we see them in the birth of a grandchild. A marriage that went 50 years, 60 years, 75 years. Amazing events that take place. And they saw the glory of Jesus and Moses and Elijah standing with him. And it was powerful. And the word tells us in the Gospel of Luke, my friends, that then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." Who are you and I listening to, my friends? Are we listening to our Lord Jesus and our Father in heaven? Or are we listening to someone else who's misguided, uneducated, an enemy to Jesus Christ, in opposition to what God calls us to do and not to do? "This is my chosen son," the Father says. "Listen to him." This Lenten season, my friends, I want you to pay attention to detail and become a great listener. Close the gap and make sure you and I understand exactly what God is saying. That's our show for today, my friends. I want to thank you for tuning in with us today here at Holy Spirit Radio in our program, Clear for Takeoff. Have a great day, and God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.